I mentioned Brian Windhorst had something to say about the Sacramento Kings. I don't imagine it's good, but they talked about, this is the only time we get talked about on ESPN. It's usually never good. Let's see what Windhorst, who's at the table here. That's Windhorst, that's Malika, that's Shams Charania, and that's Udonis Haslem. Yeah. Shout out to Udonis, who is sitting with absolutely
great,
phenomenal posture.
Great posture.
His suit is incredible.
I like to work on my posture.
He's got his suits cut like Udonis right now, A+. A+ in the TV game.
Facts.
Windhorst,
perfect.
Windhorst, not so much.
Nah, he's got to get better posture.
He's got it. His posture's bad. The suits aren't cut well. And I have a feeling he's going to say some bad things about Sacramento.
What does all this change say to you, Brian, about the state of the franchise?
It's not a good organization. I mean, I wish Scott Perry the best. He's our former colleague, very strong executive. Domantas Sabonis gave his exit interview today.
Yes.
And they said, you know, what do you need to do in the offseason? He said, we need to get a point guard. They just had a franchise point guard.
Scott Perry was there in the lead up to drafting.
That they let the relationship go south on. I'm sure everybody's got their story, but the relationship went south. They had the executive of the year. The relationship went south. He knew he was getting fired because they already had Scott Perry hired. He knew for weeks he was getting fired. His assistant, Wes Wilcox, left weeks ago to take another job when he was a big part of their rebuild. How many coaches did they go through in Sacramento over the last 17 years? They finally found a coach who put them on the right path in Mike Brown. They liked him so much, they gave him a contract extension last summer, and they fired him 2 months into the season. This is the definition of why they have been a bad organization for decades. And maybe this new alignment will work. Maybe Doug Christie will work. Maybe they will get another point guard. Just look what they did. Like, I like Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan as people. I like them as players. They can be successful. They were very clearly a poor pairing in Chicago. It did not work. Not for 5 minutes over the course of years. The Bulls moved on from both. The Kings brought them in. They had an alignment that worked, and they imported a pairing that didn't work and is very expensive. They had it in front office that was working. They disenfranchised them and drove them out of town. What are we doing here? Like, okay, maybe it will work going forward, but why would you have faith in it? Why would you have faith in the decision-making from the top? This is not an opinion. This is a reaction to the results that we can actually see.
Yeah, I don't have a single issue with anything he just said.
Everything's fair. He said
a lot of what we did, just much quicker. I don't have no problem with any of that.
Everything is fair. Everything.
Brian Windhorst, MVP of the day.
Nothing wrong with that. Anybody has to say about this franchise is 100% fair today and moving forward. Like, it's fair. Until they show differently, until Vivek as an owner shows differently with wins and losses, or not losses, I guess, but just more wins, everything that everybody says is fair about him. Everything. For me personally, there's context to stuff. Like, he talks about they had a point guard and they got rid of him. Yeah, there's context to the fact that Fox said he didn't want to be here. So, like, yes. But who cares? Did you win or lose? You lost. So, you bad organization. If that's how they want to describe you. You don't have enough wins for anybody to say anything differently. You don't move in a fashion for anybody to say anything differently.
No.
And this is what I was talking about with Jake and everything. They could do everything right procedure-wise. Vivek can get out the way and let basketball people do basketball things and just go on the beach and run routes and stay away. He can do all that. They can go through the right search that they need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got that. They can go through the right search. They can let Scott Perry hire his coach and have the GM and coach in sync and all this other stuff. They can do all that. And if they're 40 and 42, it's a loss. That's why I always say none of that, to me, I'm at the point, none of that matters. I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
None of it matters because you can do everything right. And if you lose, it's not going to make me feel any better. They are at the point where the only thing that matters is winning. That's it. You can, everything that I just laid out, you can do it the exact wrong way. But if that's a 55-win team, I'll be happy. That's where I'm at with these dudes. And until we get to the point where they're winning, Vivek is looked at as a loser when it comes to the NBA. Yeah. That's just what it is.
Yep. Yeah. Let's get Steven in here on the Elk Grove Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steven, what's happening, brother?
How you doing, babies? How you guys doing, man?
We good, big dog. How you doing, man?
Man, just working, man. Essentially, man, I just have a question. Maybe you guys can fill me in on it and maybe fill the rest of the listeners on it. Because I'm under the impression that, I mean, I've never seen Vivek in front of cameras taking questions. The only time I've ever seen him in front of cameras taking questions is when he was sitting there with his boyfriend, John Fisher. Okay. Like during the whole thing. I know. I'm being a little extra.
I got you. It's all right.
You get what I'm trying to say, man. I have never seen him take questions. He didn't do any press conferences. When he let Mike Brown go, Monty wasn't out there, probably because, you know, he was being puppeted by Vivek. Okay. And I just don't know. Maybe I haven't watched enough of the press conferences, but I know you guys are like super plugged in. So has he ever taken accountability and taken responsibility and like owned up to his actions and his decisions as a business owner?
He hasn't, but let me ask you something, Steven.
That's awesome. That's where it gets tricky. That as a business owner, he's successful.
From the dollars and cents standpoint.
Even with the Sacramento Kings, yeah, he's successful.
From the dollars and cents standpoint,
so
you're absolutely right.
As an NBA owner, like wins and losses, he's a failure.
Right. Let me ask you something, Steven. I know what you'd want to hear. You'd want someone to ask James Hamm, hey, explain to us, was it your decision to fire Mike Brown? There's all these sort of things that you could ask, right? I get that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he would actually say, though?
He'd probably skirt around it and, you know, use a bunch of jargon that, you know, a lot of people would understand. People like me who are not as like plugged in. I'm not a fairway fan or anything like that, but I'm not an X's and O's guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would just like to see him in front of a camera.
I hear you.
Take responsibility and like maybe answer, maybe take a couple of questions, mm-hmm. even if just one, you know, just one. I've never seen him in front of a camera during this entire tenure, except for when he saved the Kings and the whole RV situation, whatever. No. You know what I mean?
Like, as we know, Stephen, Dave saved the Kings. not Vivek. Redacted Dave saved the Kings. We appreciate you, Stephen. I understand that. I think a lot of people want that.
Yeah.
I would love that. I think we need to put there's a caveat on this, though. You want Vivek to sit down with either in a press conference form or whatever and answer questions honestly. Otherwise, what will wind up happening is exactly what Stephen expects would happen. Is you ask 20 questions. You're going to get a bunch of words and a bunch of jargons, but he's not dumb. He'll answer one of them honestly. He'll answer one of them that will get the Sports Center tweet or the NBA on ESPN tweet that, you know, James will get it. Jake will get it. And that one will go out. And then the rest will be marshmallows and mush and filler. Domas's stats. It'll just be nothing. And that's what. That's what a Vivek press conference. Vivek isn't he's not a strong speaker. He doesn't have a powerful voice. Vivek is a guy you kind of have to like lean in to listen to. Like, he's not an authoritative guy. It will, truth be told, it might just infuriate people more.
Well, here's the thing. Two things. Number one, I believe I could be wrong because I think I was gone at this point. So I can't remember exactly what happened. But it wasn't in front of a camera. But didn't he do an interview, talk to somebody? I want to say it was Marcos Bertone or somebody else.
Jesus
and they,
Christ.
And they did the interview and they end up ripping him to shreds and start getting. That's when they got like Jeff Petrie, and didn't Jeff Petrie say he's a little mini idiot or something like that? And I feel like that was the last time.
A mini idiot? Not even a full size idiot?
He said there was, it went all bad. And I feel like that's the last time. It feels like maybe internally at that point, I'm not talking to nobody no more.
Well, I can't believe you made me do this. But I searched. I might not be able to access this.
I can't remember who
I searched Marcos Breton and Vivek Ranadive and came up with an article called What's Wrong with the Kings? Start at the top. It's dated February 10th, 2016. And I'm looking to see. It does not appear.
Yeah, he had a think piece that went in on Vivek. I remember that.
Well, that clearly was this one.
I think that was right before he signed. What's the Euro guy that came in here and couldn't shoot? One of them.
Bellinelli.
Because I remember after he's like, nobody wants to play. In that article I think you're talking about, nobody wants to play for this guy. And then like a week later, Bellinelli signs with the Kings.
So I don't see any quotes from Vivek in this article. Yeah. So it must have
been. And I think it was an ESPN article, to be honest with you. But it just went all bad.
Well, God damn it. Now I already searched Marcos Breton. Yeah, now my whole Google thing is gone to hell. Damn it, Kenny.
But I feel like that was the moment. It just because he was really out there before that. And I remember it went all bad. And I feel like we haven't heard from him since as far as interviews, giving interviews or anything. Like I said, I think James might know. Matt might even know too. But I think Jeff Beatry went in on him in the interview. It was something, but we haven't heard from him. The other thing about that,
there's an ESPN article that calls his daughter's old basketball team a minimally talented group of wealthy Silicon Valley girls. Maybe it's that one.
Might be that.
That feels like a shot.
Okay, that's... Wait, what? That's terrible.
Hey, we got to look through that.
I looked up for Mini Idiot, and that's what I found.
Hold on, we'll come back.
No, wait a second.
And on the other side, we'll talk about what we saw on that one, because that might be... That's ridiculous.
I don't think this is a nice article, by the way. This is on ESPN.
Okay.
Oh, that's what they call Petrie hit Vivek with the dismissive little chap.
Oh, man.
You said USA Today?
No, he said ESPN.
Oh, yes.
We'll
figure it out. And I got another point.
Sam Amick, USA Today in 2016. God, how many of these articles are there? And how the hell did you land on Marcos Breton?
Well, because he always saying something stupid.
Truer words.
And I got my other point too when we come back.
Oh, great. Kenny's got another point. Marcos Breton can't wait. It's ESPN 1320. Kenny and Jesse just yelling at people.
What excellence on this scene.
Man.
So we might have found.
Tough scene.
The origins are around the time when he stopped talking.
Okay. Vivek, and, he being Vivek.
Yeah. And it wasn't. I'm trying to chase all this down. It got to a point where he issued an apology to Jeff Petrie.
I see this. Yep.
He issued
Vivek
an apology.
Ranadive apologizes for criticism of ex-GM Jeff Petrie.
He said he didn't mean any disrespect. You know, he takes accountability or says all the mistakes were my mistakes. I love Jeff, whatever he said, whatever. And I think he said something in the USA Today.
So that's okay. So now we might be headed to something.
Yeah. He said something in the USA Today article about, he might have said some other stuff, but like he talked about the draft specifically. He's like, nobody wanted to be here. I had to handle it on my own or whatever. And then Jeff Petrie said it was a sophomoric attempt at revisionist history from Vivek. And then I got to another part where it was a Sacramento Bee article. It was Elaine who wrote something kind of breaking down everything. And basically it was like, yeah, it was just another attempt for Vivek to remind everyone how he saved the Kings. And we're all tired of hearing that. And
he didn't save the Kings.
He came in on a white horse. And that's the word she's saying, that he just saved everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what specific article it was, but around that time, it feels like that's when he stopped talking to people.
Yeah, could be right. So there's no rule that I can't text him.
Oh, be careful.
I know. I was gonna ask.
I was gonna say, did you save the kid?
Did you? No, not Vivek.
Well, no.
Sam.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were texting Vivek right now, too.
No.
Well, no, I thought he was. I thought he was texting Redacted and asking him, did he say the Kings?
Oh, no, Dave definitely Redacted Dave definitely saved the Kings. I can text him that if you want.
Hold on. Texting Vivek.
No, Dave.
You got it like that. You got it like that.
Did you save the Kings?
Don't do that.
What I asked him.
Don't do that.
What I meant was, I'm going to ask Sam Amick. Okay. This is a weird question. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm texting someone. Well, I don't want to say Sam Amick because we could get in trouble because he gets.
While you're texting.
Did you conduct Vivek's last interview ever?
Vivek, there's two other times. Vivek sat down with ESPN and they ran a video when the beam got notoriety. And he explained what it meant, where it came from, all this other stuff. He talked then. He did a podcast with, I think, Andre Iguodala and Evan Turner about 2 years ago. And I think I remember that. It wasn't super in-depth. You know, they're kind of like on a business, maybe even a little bit of a tech side with that podcast that they had. And he talked there. And I remember, because we talked about it on the air, I remember he said like one or two things that were of note. But it was not like a deep dive type interview. Those are the only two times I remember him in the last at least 5 years sitting down and talking to somebody.
Time is so funny. Like, I have this article pulled up, the Vivek apologizes to Jeff Petrie article. It shows him courtside. One, he's in a suit, purple tie.
He looks really
young. He looks so young.
Yeah, he looks really young.
He looks so young.
He looks hella young. What's
like
that?
This team has aged you? No, yeah, 16? Yeah.
Yeah, he looks really young.
This team is even aging Vivek. Man, poor guy.
So, yeah, I mean, that's there. So, who was that said they wanted to see him talk?
That was Steven. Yeah,
Steven, I get it. You know, I understand it. And I get it. I'm not saying I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right, or whatever. I'm not saying that.
But I'm right.
No.
Oh.
For me, I don't need to hear him say a word anymore. He could get up there. And he could say all the right things. You laid out like a scenario. He, you know what, guys? This is all on me. This is my fault. This is my fault. I have not been a good NBA owner as far as product on the floor. I just haven't been good. And I'm going to try to be better moving forward. I'm going to try to be a different type of owner, a better type of owner. And I'm going to do things differently. And I'm going to let the basketball people do basketball things. He could say all of that. And if they win 33 games the next 2 years, I won't care. I won't care that he told me, hey, this is my fault. I don't care. I'm not saying I'm right and everybody's wrong and vice versa. The only thing that matters is wins. I'm not going to feel better if you get up there and you talk and have an interview and you pour your heart out. I'm not going to feel better if you don't. If you don't ever say another word again, but this team goes on a run where they make the postseason and for 10 straight years, and that's all I need. That's all I need. I don't need your words. Because right now, your words don't mean nothing. Your words don't result in the action, or your lack of words don't result in action. They don't bring results. So, yeah. Earlier on, yeah, I want to feel good. I want to feel a little better about what's going on. Now, I'm just in a point where I don't care. It reminds me of a time, and I hope it works out this way. I remember in 2019, and I've talked about this before, the Niners were building this defensive line, right? And they had Armstead, they had gotten Buckner. So for about 3 years, they may have one or two other people. They were like, oh, man, John Lynch. He's working in trenches. That defensive line is going to be a monster. Then they draft Nick Bosa. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this defensive line is going to be a monster. And I said, I don't care. Y'all done told me that for 3 years. It's resulted in nothing. The only thing that's going to make me appreciate or care about this defensive line is if they win football games. That's it. I don't even care about the sack total. Sack total is high, and we got 7 wins again. I'm going to be pissed. And they end up having a great season. So I was happy, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I am with Vivek, this ownership, the process, all this other stuff. I don't care about none of it. Mm-hmm. I just don't want this season to end.
Oh, it's
in
over,
the
pal.
Middle. Well, I'm saying I don't want it to end damn near at the beginning of April anymore.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that matters for me. Yeah. And that's just me.
Redacted Amick responded. Sam Redacted. I don't know. I certainly don't remember anything of substance that was written. Not sure about it. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
I think that's the last interview that he did.
Yeah.
That was 9 years ago.
And like I said,
like it, basketball related of substance. Like that was 9 years ago with Sam Amick.
And the way that's kind of played out a little bit as far as like, he said something, it rubbed Jeff Petrie the wrong way. That probably pissed a lot of people off around here. Like, his name became mud. And the fact that he came back and said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean any disrespect. Da, da, da. I could imagine him saying, I'll never talk again. I won't say nothing again because I tried to speak open and honestly, and it went all bad. Let me just shut up. And he's maintained that silence for 10 years on that level.
Yeah.
The whole jazz band thing. He don't live that down. He don't live 4-on-5 down. He don't live down Stauskas.
I don't think Stauskas. He actually even said the 4-on-5.
You're
thing,
right, but it don't even matter, right?
Oh.
Because people attribute that to him. He don't live none of it down. So he said, you know what? You know how you can never confuse me with a 4-on-5 again? Is if I never talk.
Isn't that something... Was it George? Who said that? Was it George Carl or was it Michael Malone? It was. I know Michael Malone has repeated. Michael Malone repeated it like 2 years ago.
Mm. That guy.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
But, and like I said, I'm not even saying it's right. I'm just trying to give insight. It seems like that's when he's like, I'm not ever talking again.
There was a series on Westbrook. And it got to, I think it was the finals, the Heat finals.
Okay.
And I think, but Russ had a bad outing and the media, they just like, it was Russ's fault. Go ahead.
The 4-on-5 thing was a source thing. Sources said that Vivek said in a meeting to Brain Trust that they play 4-on-5 and had someone sit back. So like it came out from, it was a report, I guess.
So yeah. So, but the way it's always, okay, good. So it wasn't even in it, but the way
Zach Lowe reported it, by the way.
The way it always was, the way it's positioned by guys like Michael Malone is, well, I once had an owner tell me to play 4-on-5. Like, no, you didn't. Don't do that. No, you didn't. Like, he may have said it. Hey, what if we play 4-on-5? Like, what if we just had a cherry picker, as they call it? What if we had that? Oh, you won't believe this idiot. What? Okay.
And not to stall this guy out either, but that's almost like Republicans buy shoes too, right? Like if you...
Oh, you could stall Mike out. Like there was context behind that.
But
that,
the context is never spoken of, right? And it's just, that's what he said.
Even the guy, was it Sam Smith?
Yeah, he was like, I wish that never
would have been. Well, Sam was like, I didn't never thought that would be a thing. Like Mike said it in a way, like I didn't realize that that was going to become what it became. Mm-hmm. There was a documentary on Russ. I think it got to the finals and the media turns on him. He's like, wow, they really did me like that after one game. And it was like a switch flip for Russ. Like, well, okay, if that's how this game works, I'll just play my own. And that's where he became. And I think Russ is starting to soften up a lot. I think he softened up a lot with the Clippers and with Denver as well. And you know, I still think he's pretty guarded with the media, but not nearly as guarded as he was when he was like the 1A on a team. You know, when you're more of a role player, the smoke level is different. Even though people still find a way to blame Russell Westbrook for what's wrong in Denver. But that approach, that idea of, oh, this is how it works. Okay. F off. I don't have to, in Vivek's case, I don't have to talk to you, and I won't again. In Russ's case, I do have to talk to you, but you will never get anything from me again. Russ, can I ask you a question? No. Bad reporters lead with, talk about no. Don't open the window for an answer like that with someone who's already short with you. KC, talk about what it was like being at the game last night.
What?
Right.
Bro, y'all tripping.
Right, exactly.
I'm out of here.
I mean, there were people who would do that. Hey, talk about no. Ask me a question. Yeah, and I don't really fault anybody for responding like that. Whether it's a player, an owner, a coach, a general manager. Name of the game is content. Especially today.
And what comes to that sometimes, though, is if you never going to stand up for yourself and defend yourself, then people just going to say what they say. And
right.
You got to live with that, too. If yeah. Vivek is making that decision to never, you know, talk like that again, all right, well, they just going to – like, there is a certain degree that if Vivek was I shouldn't say nice because it doesn't seem like he's – I don't know if he's mean. But, like, this open and – friendly, like, owner, he may get grace from people in the media. You know what I mean? They may do more highlighting of the good things he does in this community if he was a more open type of owner. But he's not, so it light his ass up on every opportunity they get. And that's the decision that you make, Vivek, when you choose to go about it that way.
You think there's any aspect to him running the team the way he does because he listens to the headlines a little too much, maybe? Like, he keeps Vlade Divac around because he hears that he doesn't know what he's doing and blah, 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 this and this and that?
Vivek doesn't strike me as a guy who pays attention to this, to us.
Yeah, just asking. I could not.
I feel like
nothing, but
there are people around Vivek. There were people around the front office. They paid attention, and they told him. That's how I feel it goes.
Vivek is running routes.
Right. Vivek. Yeah, Vivek is not.
Vivek is on the beach running routes. So, yeah, I agree with you. But I do think the people around him alert him. Like, if it's something, like, really major, like a – I don't even know what to compare it. I'll just say, like, Scott Perry and Calvin Booth. Like, Calvin Booth was mentioned outside of Scott Perry yesterday.
Yeah. Right?
And they would say, Calvin Booth seems like a front runner for the job. I think he might see that and be like, what? Maybe give a phone call. I'm like, this is Craig. Can you believe this? And that. But, like, D'Lo and KC at 2:34 on a Thursday, like, I don't think he's listening and paying attention to what's being said or
–
I just don't. I don't think so. So,
someone is.
Yeah, but that's what gets to him, though. That's what you just laid out. Like, he may not be listening, but I think this stuff gets to him. Like, somebody relays the information. It happens to all these guys, players too.
It happens from strange sources too.
Is there new news?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is new news from an old person? Like, why are you still here? Get your ass out of our lives. I'll tell you during the next break. I got the most out of the blue message. I can't even remember. Just having a great night one night. Just got the most out of the blue message. Like, what is this? Got into an exchange like, oh, I'll tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hey, don't we have to break now?
Yeah.
You know, another thing that
Jesse's like, I want to know too. Go to break.
You know, one of the other things that I thought of, you talked about earlier about the aspect of there are still people around Vivek that look to make his life a living hell at every opportunity. And that doesn't absolve him of his wrong decisions and his wrong process. He has to wear that. But you say that, you know what I always think about is there something, how do I explain it? If you're an owner and you've got a problem with Vivek, or in the moment, say Monty McNair gets fired, and I'm a minority owner of the Kings. What, since they know every damn thing, since they got all the damn answers, what keeps them from having their own podcast or going on a buddy show weekly and saying, this is what I would do, and this is how I would handle it, before everything goes bad? Because when it goes bad, then you can obviously say, I would have done the opposite.
Right.
But in the moment, why don't you have, well, you can't, hey, people be asking to hear from Vivek. I'm sure you got somebody that would come on all the time and discuss everything Kings. Why don't they do it? Is there like, would they lose their stake if they spoke out against the majority owner or something? Like, why? They got so many damn opinions. Why don't they let their voices be heard on a weekly basis?
Because it's easier to not have your name behind anything. Because you can say anything you want to. It's like Roger B with the R as his avatar. It's the random person who's not standing in front of you talking. Like, it's easier. It's easy on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, whatever your favorite app is. You can create accounts without your names on them. That's why. That's what sources said are. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Let's get Lewis in here, man. 916. By the way, Grant Napier was not texting me. Will y'all stop it? Goodness gracious. 916.
Crossed my mind.
Mine too.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Y'all are ridiculous. 916-90. Lewis. Lewis, what's going on, brother?
Oh, man, not much, man. Let me help y'all off of this cliff. Y'all sound really, you're taking the whole thing pretty tough.
Yeah.
I'm the guy here to just sort of remember, to try to remind everybody. I'm looking at the standings in the league. There's 30 teams, right? 10 in each conference made the playoffs or play-ins or whatever it is. But, Toronto, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Charlotte, Washington.
Lewis, I love you. Lewis, I know you're going to get mad at me. I love you, brother. You have got to get to the point.
Let us know, big dog.
My point is, there's we're crying like the world has ended here and so forth. And the truth of the matter is the NBA is full of very, very talented people, and everybody can't win. I'm okay with where we are. Would have, I'd do some things differently, certainly.
Oh, he's going to be pissed off. He's going to be so mad.
He's
going to
call you back and cuss you out so bad. I wish.
Hey, you want to know the cool thing about that? I never answer.
He's going to be so upset.
You can't. Like, what do you want?
Lewis.
Like, come on.
Lewis. Yes. The NBA is full of talented teams. You were ready to list off every team that did. You telling me. I maintain this. I think Dallas played terrific yesterday. They played terrific. It wasn't just the way Sacramento played yesterday. It was the way Dallas played. They played well.
Yeah.
That basketball team, that roster, the guy for guy, Sacramento's better. That's why it's 3-1. Sacramento was better. If they played again, this isn't how it works, so it doesn't matter. They play again tomorrow. They play again Sunday. I think Sacramento could win both of those. Dallas was terrific last night. Our frustration, Lewis, is that this team underperformed. Now, we can debate how much they underperformed, and that probably just centers on how much you hate DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine. I don't hate either one of those individuals. I think they're both solid players. I think whether De'Aaron Fox is here in place of Zach LaVine or Zach LaVine is here, I think we're still dealing with what we're dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. Everyone says point guard, point guard, point guard, point guard. Okay, you look at me. I asked the Chatty House. Y'all think it would be different? Tell me that you think this season would be different if De'Aaron Fox was still here.
I don't
remember. De'Aaron had the finger that pointed west. Yeah. When it wasn't supposed to, or east, I don't remember. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Tell me you think it would be the same. Tell me you think it would be different.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it would be exactly the same.
Well, keeping De'Aaron and Brown is still gone?
Yeah.
It would have been a little worse.
If Brown is still here, is it worse?
Because
you have angry Domas, you have angry DeMar. And I think you have one other frustrated guy who we've left out of all of this. But is it different if Mike is here?
I don't think so.
It's only if you have the faith that they would have gotten through that little rut.
I think it might be worse if Mike is here. Like, how you navigate all those frustrated players.
Those two scenarios, Mike here and the season just keeps going, and Mike gets fired, De'Aaron stays, those both result in, I believe, in what we saw last night, at best, they might have been 11 or 12.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it was bad. It was all bad. It was all bad. I think people forget that, or they just assume, they would have figured it out. Maybe. I don't know. But it was all bad, both of those situations.
Dear God, did Mavs Kings lead PTI, or did they lead the second block?
No, they led PTI. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ugh. Kings probably weren't even referenced in the fact they lost on their home floor. It was probably about Nico defense wins championships and the fact that the big man lineup.
Did you see Nico last night? I saw him.
I didn't, actually.
Yeah, I saw him on the way out.
Only person I saw that I was happy to see was Jackie. I saw Jackie. That was it.
That's what's up.
All right, we'll come back. Matt George going to join us here coming up in a little bit.
He's going to light the Kings up.
This is going to be ugly.
Light them boys.
It's gonna be we might just take ourselves on off the screen and let Matt go. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Oh my gosh, the Chatty House is trying to kill us.
This
has got 200 milligrams of caffeine in it.
Is it worse than those Hulk Hogan pills that you took back then?
Did I take Hulk Hogan pills?
You said you took something.
Did he have vitamins?
Yeah, you took some vitamins or whatever, and it's like your chest was just boom, 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 boom.
No. Okay, first of all, Hulk Hogan did used to have vitamins, by the way, and I'm positive I had them because I had the Hulk Hogan workout set as well. Two, those weren't Hulk Hogan pills. Those were fat burners. That's when you used to be able to put actual speed inside of a fat burner. And yes, it nearly killed me because I did not take it as directed. I took... So what was the, it was the WW, it wasn't, it was a W, I think it was called Stacker 2.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember those commercials.
And suggested dose is, you know, don't exceed 90 milligrams a day. Me, you know, I'm 20 at the time, 21 maybe. I'm thinking, shoot. I'm a pro. I got this. I didn't realize that dosage was the dosage they tell you not to take, like, if you don't want to die.
Oh, man.
And you used to just be able to buy that stuff at GNC. You go to Walmart.
GNC was crazy.
Get some Stacker, too. You could get some fat burners with some speed in it and grab some testosterone off the shelf.
Dame said, double it.
Bro, I didn't double it. I took the recommended dosage. What I didn't do was ramp up to it. Mm. I opened the bottle. Three pills. It specifically says, take one for a week,
man.
Two for a week, and then get to three. Not me. Craig opened the bottle. Three pills. 3 days later, I'm at Kaiser. They're like, hey, this is a weird question. Did you run here? I said, no, I drove.
That's crazy.
Oh. why don't you lay down? Your heart's beating 165 times per minute, and you appear to be in a completely relaxed state. We're going to give you something that's going to slow your heart rate down. We're going to need you to take this every single day. Do you have any idea what might have caused this? I said, no. I go, do you take any fat burners? Yes. Great. Throw them in the garbage.
It means all. Do you watch the WWE?
Yes. Did you see that Raw was brought to you by Stacker 2?
Raw was brought to you.
How familiar are you with the Ultimate Warrior? He takes this as well.
And I think one of the craziest things I experienced from that is, so like, it's not like you take these pills and your heart rate just goes down. Mm. It took several days, right? Like your heart, you know, it starts to regulate a little bit, but your metabolism is still going crazy.
Yeah.
I lost like 9 pounds in 3 days. I was at the lowest weight I probably ever was, because I was a fat ass little kid. So I was at the lowest weight like I ever was because of those pills.
Real talk, that's probably what them wrestlers be taking or were taking.
Oh, yeah. That's why they're.
Oh, they were taking something way better than those.
Those.
How good could it be? Cause...
Recreational. They were drinking alcohol, they were doing regular drugs, and then they were doing like energy stuff so they could lift weights.
Right.
And supplements.
Right.
Damn near why none of them are here now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that is overload on the body.
So, yeah, thanks for listening to the time about when D'Lo took crack.
They advertised it on Raw. What'd you want me to do? Man.
A couple of things. Real quick. So, there was a moment last night after the game, because one of the things I like to do, I just like to do it. You know, I like to people watch. I like to be around and, you know, say what's up to my people.
You said you was in
like
the GM perch.
We saw that, actually. We got the picture.
Yeah.
You were like staying.
It's on the internet. You can choose to lie if you want to, but it is on the internet. So
did not look happy, by the way.
Be careful.
I wasn't happy. The entire time I was not happy. But, you know, after the games, you know, I like to be down on the court, you know, take a little lap, see my people or whatever.
Obviously.
And at one point, I was taking a lap, and there's I don't want to exaggerate. A lot of people have talked about the agents that were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
including the one we're on the payroll for.
Well, yeah.
Did you hear that Kenny's on the payroll for the Kings as well?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Vivek, not the Kings, right. But just Vivek.
Yeah, Vivek.
And also, Casey.
Bootlicker.
Casey is on Casey's payroll.
That too.
I saw that too. That is terrific.
Idiot.
He's getting paid from everybody.
You big.
Well, dummy. That explains everything.
You big dummy. But I was like, probably about 7 feet away from this mega powers conversation that was going on. Okay. I don't know anything that was talked about. Like, I couldn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, oh, hey, what's going down? They having a conversation. There was nothing demonstrative. People were laughing or whatever. But you knew it was Rich Paul. It was Aaron Goodwin.
I didn't know he was there last night.
And there was somebody else there. And they were all, excuse me, talking to Sam Redacted, actually.
Don't die. Well, I mean,
can't even talk about it.
I mean, yeah, Kenny getting choked up here. He's so emotional about Sam Amick.
To Sam Redacted. And I was just like, oh, all three of them guys are in the building and they're all having conversations.
That's one of those things.
Business is brewing right now.
Next time you need to stand about four and a half feet away, enough to where they don't notice you, but you can hear them go on your phone for a bit and just listen.
I probably should have. And
you do all of this stuff wrong.
It's true, yeah.
Like literally all of it.
Why do I got to coach you up?
And Sam was probably like, hey, KC, come hang out with us.
Hey.
Nah, it's cool, man.
Rich,
I gotta,
this is Aaron right here.
I got to go see Lania. Like, it's fine. Well, oh, okay.
Look, she might need to be on the show because she does it right. I was talking to her, and she's like, oh, hold on. Let me go talk to Rich real quick.
Yeah, you do. You that's what I'm saying. You do it all wrong.
They can all talk to each other because, like, the same income class or whatever. Like, Rich isn't going to be – Rich is going to be mad or bothered if I say what's up to him. He's like, what are you doing,
little guy? You're going to look at me crazy if I'm
not. No, you're supposed to be there.
You're in the –
No, not.
Like, oh, yeah, not. I saw you sending in Monty McNair's spot. Yeah. What's up?
You were in the GM perch.
Yeah.
Monty McNair's spot is on the other side of the court.
Karen DeBagley, Casey dropped the ball again.
Could have got all the info. Well, but yeah, it's just, see, I bring that up to say, seeing, it's still kind of all new to me, right? Like, seeing all those guys there at that game,
you know what they
with
were
that
saying.
Result.
You know what they were saying. Yes. Sam was telling him, yeah, Monty's fired. And the rest of these guys were like, yeah, no kidding. This organization sucks. I'm going to see if I can get him to give Trey Lyles $10 million next year.
Well, no, like, some of the conversations we have, yeah, no, he's gone.
Well,
it's gone.
It's yeah. Yeah.
They're like, well, what you think? Like, is there a shot?
No.
No, he's gone.
No. No, there's no shot.
That was
no shot.
So who do we think sends Shams did the whole the Kings have won 40 or more games, 3 straight seasons under McNair's leadership, blah blah blah. Haven't done that since 2005, 2006.
Probably Monty's agent.
Well, yeah, like the Kings had a .48 winning percentage under McNair. None of this stuff is good, by the way.
Yeah,
like I couldn't imagine like, oh yeah, I'm gonna send this to Shams so we can tweet out like.
Well, Shams' point of contact, I think, is gone. Hmm. He went to Utah. University or whatever it was. University of Utah.
Yeah.
I think that was Shams' point of contact. So now it's who represents Monty. Hey, let's get ahead of this.
Well, yeah.
Let's get ahead of this. As in Monty, as in Shams had that report ready a month ago.
You're right.
He was just ready to plug in the final numbers. Hey, man, it'll really help if you guys get to 40 wins. I could this tweet will go so hard if you get to 40 wins.
Well, Shams, I think I have this right. He's still connected.
Sure.
He's still connected. I'm trying to think if I got this right. I think so, because Woj. Woj was a team guy? Is that how we always thought about it?
Woj was a team, like a front office guy. Yeah.
And Shams. A
little bit more player-centric, a little more agent-centric.
Yeah. No, he's still connected. He's good.
I don't know, but I've never seen Vivek Ranadive blush. Like he did when.
Well, that's the other thing. So I'm not even talking about that. But yeah, he.
I can't picture that. Like I can't picture, you know, Vivek on the phone going, "Hey, Shams, okay, you ready? I'm gonna break it down for you." Like I can't picture that.
I can't. But what I was, there are people who are still clutch people in the organization.
Correct. Yep. Yep.
So.